Genesis chapter 19. I'm going to read a good portion of this chapter, about 30 verses. I need to read it in order for us to see the message. Lessons learned from the life of Lot. Genesis 19, and there came two angels to Sodom at evening. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, Behold now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and ye shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, Nay, but we will abide in the street all night. And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him and entered into his house, and he made them a feast, and did bake unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, Where are the men which came in to thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them. And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. For therefore came they under the shadow of my roof. And they said, Stand back. And they said again, This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them. And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides son-in-law, and thy sons, and thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city? Bring them out of this place, for we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, Escape for thy life, look not behind thee. Neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, O, not so, my Lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. And I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and it is a little one. Oh, let me escape there. Is it not a little one, and my soul shall live? And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape there, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities, that which grew up on the ground, and that which grew up on the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord, and he looked toward Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and lo, the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. What can we learn from this? What can we learn? The Scriptures tell us that these things were written as examples for us, for our learning. It's not entertainment. Nothing is written in the Word of God for entertainment. It's written for instruction. Our learning, that we may know. Here's what we are going to see. We are going to see how believers' testimony can be destroyed. We are going to see that the Lord is merciful. He will not forsake His own. He won't do it. And we'll see how much unbelief is still in those who believe. And we will see that the righteous cannot be punished with the wicked. Did you catch what the angel said? I cannot do anything until you're out of here. My, my, my. What way till I get to that? And then he says, don't look back. The angel says, do not look back. And then last of all, I'm going to close with God remembered Abraham and delivered Lot. And how this is a beautiful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. How we are delivered and forgiven for Christ's sake. God remembered Abraham and delivered Lot. Now Lot was Abraham's nephew. And Lot became rich. And Abraham became rich. And their herdsmen, as he read, they were bickering. And so they separated so that there wouldn't be any family trouble. Wouldn't you like that? Abraham said, we don't need this. We don't need family problems. We don't need any bickering. He said, you just take, and notice, Abraham said, you lift up your eyes or you take whatever you want, and I'll take what's left. If there's not an attitude to mimic, you take whatever you want, I'll take what's left. Because if you and I have Christ, we have it all. We have it all if we have Christ. So Lot lifted up his eyes, and he looked over Jordan. He saw the well-watered plains of Jordan. And he said, I'm going to go down that way. Got him, didn't it? Got him. It got him. And he said, I'm going to go over there. We'll just go down there. And then as we got down there, he pitched his tent towards Sodom. Whatever you're looking toward, that's usually where you end up at. And that's where he ended up. Now, Lot believed the gospel. He believed the same gospel Abraham believed. He learned the gospel from Abraham. And he believed it. Now, why do I say that? Now, if all we had is what Moses wrote of him, we would think he was a lost man. We wouldn't think he was a saved man. There's nothing commendable about Lot. I don't think there's anything ever said about him commendable. But turn over to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. I'm going to start reading in verse 4. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an example unto those that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, the filthy lifestyle of the wicked. He vexed his soul. For that righteous man, that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust until the day of judgment to be punished. Lot was a just man. Not by his deeds. He didn't do one thing to justify himself. Lot was justified by the grace of God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, just as Abraham was and just as you and I are. That's how he's justified. That's why he's called Just Lot. The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ put away his sin just as it has put away our sins. That's why he's called Just Lot. That's why his soul is called righteous. It's the righteousness of Christ. It's not because of his relationship to Abraham, as the Jews thought. No, it's his relationship to Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. The justification of our soul does not have anything to do with what I do or don't do. It has everything to do with what the Lord Jesus Christ did in my place. That's where my justification comes from. Solely from God. We see that in Lot. And this just man made a bad choice. Bad choice. And remember this, and I know that if you've got any age on you at all, you know this is true. All choices have consequences. They all have consequences. Make your choices slowly. Make them slowly. Because they can last a long time. All choices come with consequences. He fell into the trap of looking. Looking. Abraham didn't look. Abraham didn't look around and say, Lot, you go that way. I'm going to go this way. I'm the oldest. I'm the eldest. I get to choose first. He said, Abraham said, you go and take whatever you want, because Abraham knew this and felt this. I have enough. If I have Christ, I have enough. You just take what you want. Well, he did. And he started looking around. Then he started lusting. Then he took off in that direction. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life is still in us. It's still in us. It's not dead. To show you that life or choices have consequences, Adam chose, and look at us now. He chose to eat of that fruit. If ever a time that free will was exercised, that was that. That was then. We haven't had a free one since. Well, Lot went towards Sodom, and he finally ended up in Sodom. A wicked, wicked place. My soul. You read that where they came and they wanted to know those men? They were going to rape those men. That's what they were going to do. It says both small and great. The whole city was turned over to it. The whole city. And that you'll notice here also that his choice affected his whole family. It never really jumped out at me until I was reading this here recently. that he went and talked to his sons-in-laws that married his daughters. They burned up in that place. God burned that. He burned some of his family up in that place. Our choices affect our family. Our choices always have consequences. They always affect somebody. Always. When he went to speak to his sons-in-laws, listen to this in verse 14. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. He seemed. He seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. They laughed at him. They said, are you kidding? Are you joking? It was just as if he was making a joke. And the reason that happened is because of his company that he started keeping with the ungodly. His everyday conduct in out there in life, in trading and whatever he was doing there in Sodom. No place to worship with his family. He took his family to a place where there was no place to worship. He left Abraham, who worshiped God, who builds an altar, offers the sacrifices. He left that. He left it. He neglected the worship and the way of the godly, and his testimony became as one dead. They laughed at his testimony. No respect from his family whatsoever. And then notice here in verse 16. Here shows you how much unbelief is still in us. They told him he was going to destroy that city. But it says he lingered. He lingered. You know, we're told to flee to Christ, aren't we? And we are to flee to Christ always. Not linger around and say, well, there's no well to it. Flee to Christ. We're told where to flee. But he lingered. After being told he's going to be destroyed, he lingered. His attachments to whomever and whatever had a death grip on him. He still had family in there that didn't want to go. He had sons-in-laws and the daughters that were married to them. And I know he didn't want to go. He wanted them to come out with him. But listen, when it's time to go, it's time to go. But they had, you know, it had, that's where he made his living all these years. And his wife and, you know, no doubt there's some turmoil going on here. Some real turmoil going on here. But God is about to burn that place up. You know, we stand in a pulpit and we have on God's authority. We tell them that God's going to burn this world up. But people still linger, don't they? They still linger. It's like, well. Don't linger. He that loves mother, father, sister, brother more than me, he's not worthy of me. And if God ever puts that to the test, you'll find out how difficult that is. And this is why sinners left to themselves will not flee to Christ. They will not leave this. Not if God leaves. If God leaves us alone, we will not leave this stuff. We hang on to it. Hang on to it with a death grip. Christ said, you will not come to me that you might have life. They would have come to him if they could have had a new car, a new house, a new job. I could stand here. I can get on the radio or television. And I can say, the Lord said, if you'll come to him, he'll give you a new house. That's why preachers stand there and really promote this mansion. Mansions in the sky, because people come for mansions. Most people don't live in stuff like that. But to come to Christ that you might have life, people don't want that. Christ said, you will not come to me that you might have life. That's why sinners left to themselves will not come to the Lord Jesus Christ even if the house is on fire. They won't do it. And that rich young ruler I spoke about earlier, it says he went away sorrowful because he was very rich. Couldn't do it. Couldn't let it go. Could not part with it for life. We're not talking about living a long time now. We're talking about the life of God. We're talking about the quality of it. The life of God. If we are to be saved, we must let it all go. We have to let it all go. Mercy. Mercy shown to him, yet he lingered. But here we're going to see sovereign mercy in verse 16. Here, you better, I tell you, you and I know that you and I who believe the gospel, we're glad, we're happy for sovereign mercy. We see it here. We see the mercy of God. We see the power of God. The Lord being merciful unto him. He's merciful. He's going to grab him by the arm and take him out of there. But the Lord being merciful unto him, well, there was sure nothing commendable about him. Mercy doesn't look for anything commendable. It doesn't look for that. If any of us wind up in glory, it will be because the Lord was merciful unto me, unto you. If that's where we wind up, it's because He's merciful. Fetching grace. That's what this is. Fetching grace. Like Mephibosheth. Fetching grace. If it were not for the mercy of God, we would die with the rest of the ungodly, wouldn't we? We'd die with the rest of them. How true is this psalm, Psalm 23? Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. God's goodness and God's mercy followed Lot all the way into Sodom. And it kept him. He's called a righteous man. That's what the Word of God says about him. He's a righteous man. Righteous soul. Just. You say, where in the world? In Christ. And those angels taking Lot and his family by the hand. Look at this. It said, while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters. They just grabbed him by the hand because they're sitting here. They're not wanting to go. They're standing here in this house. God is about to destroy this place. He's going to turn it to ashes. That's what he said in 2 Peter. He turned it to ashes. And they're not wanting to go, and I know this because they got, you know, it's just they've been living there in a relationship, but they got family there, and so those angels, what do? They just grab them by the hand. They grab them by the hand, and just take them out of there, because they've been commanded to do that. I tell you, if God commands your salvation, you're going to be saved. You're going to be saved. You're going to be saved God's way. You're going to be saved. So they took Lot and his family by the hand and took them out of that city. And brother, that was an act of mercy. That's an act of sovereign mercy. It was the Lord's mercy that led him out with Abraham. It was the Lord's mercy that kept him while he was in Sodom. And it's the Lord's mercy that brought him out of that place. It brought him out. And as the angel says to him there in verses 17 through 20, he said, escape for thy life. Look not behind thee. Flee the wrath to come. That's what he's telling him. Flee the wrath to come. It's coming. Judgment's coming. The Word of God's full of it. Judgment's coming. And the only safe place is Christ, not the church. It's Christ. A lady told me once, some years ago, she goes, I know I need to get back in church. No, you don't. I said, no, you don't. You don't need to get back in church. You need Christ. You need Him. If I tell you, you mess the church up. You just be a problem.
That's what you'd be.
Flee to Christ from the wrath to come. He's the only safe place for sinners. And don't look back. You and I haven't left anything, have we? Paul said, I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ. Everything. He describes, before he says that, what he was a Pharisee, the Pharisees. I mean, he had it all together.
He thought.
And he says, I count every bit of it as loss. It's loss. That's all it is, loss. Nothing good about it at all. And don't look back on those things. Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind and looking forward. Looking forward to what? To the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the mark. He's our end. And flee to the mountain. He was directed a place to flee to. The mountain. You and I are directed a place to flee to. Christ. What does he do? He argues with him. He said, there's a little city over here. Let me go over in that city. There's evil beasts out there, and I got my family, and they'll kill us. Kill us. Oh, my soul. Well, the answer, go ahead. All right, go ahead. Go over that little city. You know they ended up running him off. They were going to kill him over that little city. You know where he ended up at? If you read verse 30, and Lot went out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain. He ended up there anyway. But sometimes the Lord lets us. He lets us go do stupid things so we can find out where the safe haven really is. Sometimes. Now, no punishment for the righteous. In verse 22. Haste thee, escape there. For I cannot do anything till thou be come hither. I cannot do anything. I cannot destroy this place until you're taken out of it. This world is preserved right now because the elect of God are in it. God cannot bring and will not bring total destruction on this earth until all His sheep are saved and taken home. I can't do anything until you're safe. Don't you love that? That angel has the power. He's got the power and he's got the authority of God behind him to burn that place down. But there's one man. One. There's one. One righteous man in that city. And that city is preserved and cannot be burnt down until that one righteous man is delivered. Until that one righteous man is safe. And once he's safe, it's done. They burn it. And when God has saved that last sheep, and he takes us out of this world, that last one is taken out, he's going to burn it down. It's going to turn to ashes. That's what's going to happen. And then verse 29, I'll close. God remembered Abraham. Well, you see, verse 26, his wife did look back. And look what God did. He turned into a pillar of salt. He told her not to look back. But she looked back with regret. Her heart was back there because she had family back there. And I know you're saying, I understand that. But she looked. You and I don't know the heart. God knew her heart. God knew her heart. And when she looked back, it was just like, oh, I want to go. I want to live there. I don't want to live out here. I want to live there. I want to be there. God turned her. And she did what she was told not to do. God turned her into a pillar of salt. Killed her right there. But then it says, God remembered Abraham. Just as God remembered Abraham as his friend, as his son, as his servant, the covenant that he made with him, Even so, God remembers Christ, His Son, His servant, which He's called in Isaiah 42, and that covenant that He made with Him concerning all His elect. Because of that, God has called you out. Because of that, God has saved yours. If you believe the gospel, if you believe on Christ, you love Christ, you follow after Christ. And the reason that happened is because God remembers Christ. And for Christ's sake, He's called you. For Christ's sake, He's forgiven you. And for Christ's sake, He's taking you home. Christ said, I go and prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, you can bet on this. You can be sure of this. I'm going to come and get you again. I'm going to come and receive you myself. That where I am, there you may be also. God remembered Abraham and delivered Lot. And for Christ's sake, God saves sinners. And He's going to deliver them from the wrath to come. And it's coming. It's coming. All right. Those are lessons that we can learn from the life of Lot. And we need not forget them. Okay, Lionel.